Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. Good job. Glad to hear conversation going there. All right, so we're in a series where we're talking about God's voice. And what we're doing is we are going to Scripture itself to see what Scripture says about hearing the voice of God. Because I don't really care about other people's opinions. I want to know what God says about what it takes to hear his voice and whether or not he continues to speak and so on. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at various various aspects of that. But it's important, right? Because, you know, the Bible can tell you what kind of person to marry, but maybe you need a little bit more help than that. Or the Bible can tell you to make wise decisions, but what happens when you have three equally good and wise decisions in front of you? You know, it'd be nice to hear from God about something like that. So that decision-making is one of the reasons why we want to be hearing from God. Don't look over there. For those of you online, it's myself. But it's also for the sake of friendship, right? Jesus extends friendship to his disciples. Friendship involves conversation. We need friendship. And we need conversation within it. We need to be hearing the voice of God so that we can offer him the friendship that he has already been offering to ourselves. So it's really important. So we're going to be talking about the voice of God again today. God still speaks in the same ways that we see in Scripture. And that's what we touched on that first week. The Bible is not simply an account of how God at one time acted, but he no longer does. It is an account of how he continues to act among his people. These are examples for us, as Scripture says, in numerous places. These things happened as an example for us to follow. We should be looking to Scripture to see how is it that God spoke to those people. I should be expecting the same types of things in my own life. We looked at a quote from Charles Spurgeon who said, "Everything in Scripture is a precedent for what God wants to continue to do among his people now." We looked at the passage in Scripture in John 10 where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Present tense, my sheep currently hear my voice. My God is currently speaking to his sheep and his sheep are currently hearing his voice. The issue is not whether or not God speaks. The issue is whether or not we are currently tuned in, listening and recognizing the fact that he is speaking to us. But my sheep hear my voice. We have to stand on faith. So that we have to assure ourselves based on faith that what Jesus says there is true. So I need to be listening. I need to be tuning in. I need to be learning to recognize. The following week, which was last week, we talked about our expectations. Our expectations can open us up to the voice of God or limit our ability to recognize that voice. We talked about cessationism. It was the view that crept into the church, particularly through Reformed circles, that said that God at one time spoke and acted in miraculous ways for the sake of the apostles, but he only did it through the apostles, and he only did it until the apostles wrote Scripture, and the miraculous voices, the miraculous things that were done through and with the apostles were only there to validate what they were writing in Scripture, but once Scripture was completed, we no longer needed that. Well, if you actually go back and look at Scripture, Scripture A, doesn't teach that, and B, actually shows you something different. Ananias was not an apostle. Ananias did not write any Scripture, but Ananias heard the voice of God and went and performed a miracle, right? Saul's eyes were opened because of Ananias tuning in to the voice of God. So cessationism doesn't actually work at the scriptural level. And secondly, you can't actually find scriptures that say God is going to stop speaking in the ways that he spoke in Scripture. They're not there. So you have to come up with this strange explanation for that. It doesn't seem to work to me. And in fact, Scripture teaches the opposite. Scripture teaches, A, that my sheep hear my voice, and B, that I'm going to keep speaking. In the last days, I am going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will hear the voice of the Lord and speak it. That's Joel 2. That's Acts 2. That's an ongoing present day, present tense reality for us. We need to be tuning in. Because I want, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And there are some words that God is currently speaking that I'm going to be missing if I'm not tuning in and listening to the fact that the shepherd speaks to the sheep on an ongoing basis. My sheep, present tense, hear my voice. So we should be expecting that he's going to keep speaking in the same way in scripture. But then what we did was we looked at a scripture that may reframe for us the ways that we should expect to speak. And so we took the passage in 1 Kings 19 where God speaks to Elijah. And Elijah had heard and seen God in some spectacular ways. But then he goes to Mount Sinai expecting fireworks and he gets a whisper. A still, small voice. And we should be expecting something small. And big. I'm not discounting the big. And we might get to the big. I'm not sure. But we need to start with the small. So don't expect the voice of Morgan Freeman in your head, okay? Or David Attenborough or James Earl Jones or someone with this fantastic godlike voice, right? You should expect it to be so small you dismiss it as your own if you're not paying attention. Still a small voice. But let me remind you, as we reflected the other week, that Elijah, James says, was a man just like us. Elijah was not special. Elijah did not get downloads from God because he was Elijah. Elijah got something from the Lord because he learned to listen. And the same goes for you. None of us needs to be special to hear from the Lord. We shouldn't discount all of this, the allegedly special people in scripture that heard from God and that God acted in their lives in amazing ways. These are precedent for us. Elijah was a man just like us. And there's hope in that for all of us, if we're willing to sit with that and to act on faith and say, Lord, I'm going to listen, trusting that you speak, because he is speaking and we qualify, not because we're special, because God speaks, the shepherd speaks to his sheep. So that's what we've been covering in the last couple of weeks. What I want to talk about today is recognition, and it requires a couple of things. And that's why I asked you in your discussion groups ahead of time to talk about the question, how is it that Abraham recognizes that this is the voice of God? Because it could just as easily have been the enemy or his own sort of dark side, especially when you hear something as dark as go sacrifice your son. How does Abraham recognize that it's God? You may have come up with a variety of answers, and I'm not here to discount your answers. I'm going to focus on two that I think scripture brings out so that we understand at least two of the things that helped Abraham recognize that this was the voice of God. Okay? We're going to put this up on the screen, but it would be helpful if you actually saw this in your own Bibles as well. So would you go to Hebrews 12, verse 25? Lionel will find it in a minute, but as you're looking for Hebrews 12, 25, let me read it for you. The writer says to his audience, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Notice, first of all, the present tense there again. Don't refuse the one who is presently speaking. My sheep hear my voice. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. It's starting to touch on obedience. And what I want to do is show a little bit more clearly from another scripture that obedience is required if we're going to hear the voice of God. Obedience is required if we're going to recognize what God is currently speaking, because God is currently speaking. My sheep hear my voice. Would you go to the next one, please, Lionel? John 7, 17. Jesus is speaking, and some people are questioning him. about what he's teaching and whether or not he has any authority to teach what he's teaching. And this is what he says. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know, will recognize whether the teaching I'm giving is from God or whether I'm just speaking on my own. Anyone who has already decided that I will do whatever it is that God is saying to me will recognize whether or not it's God speaking. I want you just sit with this for a moment. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will recognize God's voice. Jesus he's teaching in a crowd. People don't recognize this as second person of the Trinity, right? This is Jesus the man teaching in a crowd, and some people are skeptical, and they're not sure whether what he's teaching is accurate, whether what he's teaching is true, whether or not he is actually speaking on his own authority or not. And he says to them, if you're actually willing to listen to God and do whatever it is that God says to do, you will then recognize God's voice. You will then recognize who is speaking, that I don't speak on my own, that God is speaking through me. But the precondition is our prior readiness, our prior obedience. It's crucial. How does Abraham recognize the voice of God? Abraham was willing to obey, as we see in the story, right? Bill Johnson, in the message that I recommended to you, you can find it on YouTube. It's called Designed to Hear from God. But he says in that particular message, reflecting on this verse, that he asks the question, what would God speak if I gave him my yes before he speaks? What would I hear from God if I gave him yes? If I told him in advance, whatever it is that you want me to do, I will do it. If we actually took a blank page and signed the bottom of it and slide it over to God's side of the table and say, you fill this in, I will do it, what would he say to us in advance? Would we not, according to this scripture, recognize more clearly God's voice as he speaks if we give him yes first? So obedience is the first thing. And too often we're plugging our ears going, God, I really want to hear you right now, but don't tell me to go apologize to someone. Yep. We plug our ears. We say, I really want to hear from you, but then I have all of these conditions, and I'm willing to do this, but not that. And it's not going to silence God's voice, it's going to plug our ears. My sheep hear my voice. We can't silence God's voice. What we can do is plug our ears. And obedience is what will determine whether or not our ears are plugged. So what if we signed that blank page? Secondly, we walk by, do you know this scripture? We walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, well done. I sometimes paraphrase that as, we're finished with that scripture now, Lionel. You could probably, we'll stop the screen share. That's right. Thank you. I sometimes paraphrase that scripture as, we walk by faith, not by certainty, because that's what sight is getting at, right? It's the opposite of faith. We walk by faith, not by certainty. We live in a very, very sense-based culture. It's all about science. It's about what we can measure. It's about what we can see and test and so on. And our culture will sometimes say, if I can't touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, it's not real. I can't touch, taste, see, or smell thoughts, but they are real, right? So that can get pushed too far, but it creeps into the church too. And we will pray for someone to be healed. And then when we see something, we're like, well, maybe that was prayer. Maybe. We don't really know. Like, shame on you if you pray for something and you get the answer and then you go, well, maybe that had something to do with my prayer. Maybe, you know, it's all up to God. We won't know until we get to heaven. Like, give me a break. Like, we need to rebuke ourselves when we see ourselves sliding into that. And I understand why we slide into it, right? We don't want to be duped. We don't want to be wrong. And so what we end up doing is we say, that faith thing, that's a little too hard right now. I'm gonna go with skepticism because it keeps me safe. I was talking with Jeff Gowdy, who speaks here from time to time, about this verse the other day. And I was talking to him about my frustration that we've been trained in evangelical churches with a fair amount of skepticism towards God answering our prayers and so on, and hearing the voice of God. And we say things like, well, maybe that was an answer to prayer, or maybe God's saying something. I'm not really too sure. And I use the word skepticism, and he didn't exactly rebuke me, but it was one of the first times I think I've sat with Jeff, and he's had this strong word that's like, no, it's not just skepticism. It's downright cynicism that I see in our churches, where someone will stand up and say, you know what, or will share, you know, this is what I heard from God, and we go, really? And maybe you do. That's a little weird. Or someone might say, you know, I have this sense. And some of us sit back and we think that we are superior because someone had a sense from God. And we go, I don't know about that. And then we actually start to mock them. We go even from cynicism to skepticism because we put down people who have a sense or a feeling or who have heard things from God. And we go, is that faith, my friends? We walk by faith, not by certainty. And this is a God who speaks in the same ways that we see in Scripture. But then we go, I don't want to be duped. And we've seen abuses, therefore, I'm going to relegate all of that to the kooky and the weirdos. And I don't want to be kooky or a weirdo, so I'm going to sit back where it's safe and comfortable. And I'm going to label all of that something else and go, but that's not for me. And then we go, I don't hear from God. Well, why don't you hear from God? You don't hear from God because, well, you are hearing from God, but you're not recognizing it because you have no faith for it. It's a rebuke to myself. Faith is not blind. Let's remind ourselves of that. It's based on Scripture first, right? As we see all of these things in Scripture where we see God speak, Elijah says it was a still small voice. We go, We have to actually affirm it. Say, you know, my sheep do hear my voice. I believe you, Jesus. I take you at your word. I believe, God, what you say in 1 Kings 19 about a still small voice. I believe what Hebrews 12:25 says, do not refuse the one who's currently speaking. I take that on faith. And then on faith, Lord, I will listen for your voice. And then I will act. I will give you my yes before you speak. Now, I'm not saying that if you hear quit your job this week, you should go out immediately and do that. Okay? Yes, Abraham heard something big. We're not currently operating at Abraham's level, so I think God recognizes that and will ease us into some of these things. And we are going to talk in subsequent weeks about how to discern and evaluate and process the bigger words, like quit your job or go sacrifice your son. But for this week, as we are just learning to listen, act on faith with some of the small things that you hear. Because as some people have said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? And there are times where God will recognize that you want to hear, you want to tune in a little bit more. I'm going to give you something, but now I want to see what you do with it. And it might involve a little bit of a risk. So for now, I'm not just asking you not to, I'm telling you not to. I don't do this very often, but do not go and say to someone, thus says the Lord. God gave me a word for you. We're not there. You're not operating at that level yet for most of us, right? So let's start small and let's take some small risks. And so as you're praying this week and you hear, give that guy your lunch or take the long way home or go call Jimmy, or you know, something like that, test it. Take a risk. Give him your yes first. See what he does. And the more that we do that, the more that we will learn to recognize the difference between our own thoughts or the thoughts of the enemy versus what God is saying. But it means starting small, and it means taking a risk. Abraham recognized that it was God both by obedience and by faith. Abraham is called the father of faith for a reason, right? So you may have come up with other answers. I'm not saying your other answers are wrong, but I would say based on these scriptures, Abraham recognized God's voice because he was willing to be obedient and because he had faith for it. He trusted that God was speaking, and he trusted that God would take care of Isaac or bring him back. There's a missionary who's dead now. His name of Rhys Howells. He was a Welsh missionary, set up Bible colleges in the UK, went to Africa for quite a number of years. And God called him to live such a life of faith that he told him he basically wasn't to save his money, that God would provide almost day by day for him. And so he learned to live a life of faith, and I recognize we're not operating at that level, and that's no problem. But there was one time I was reading his a biography of him where God told him he had to go to this particular place, which meant that he had to get on a train, which meant that he had to buy a ticket, but he didn't have the ticket nor the money for it. And but he's like, I think this is God, so I packing my bags and, you know, making his way to the train station, the money still isn't there. Like, well, there's the lineup. He gets in line. He's getting closer to the front, and someone just hands him money just before he reaches the booth. Like, that's amazing faith. But God made him take a risk too, right? We're going to look pretty foolish reaching into his pocket for money that isn't there to pay for the ticket, but God came through. So there was both faith and obedience. But there's another part of his biography where God is asking him to surrender some things. And he gets to a point where he's really honest with God, saying, like, I can't do that. And God comes to him and speaks to him in a really special way. And he says, I recognize you're not able to do that. If you can't be willing to do that, are you willing to be made willing? And Rhys says, yes. And I memorized that line, and I pray that line now. God, I don't necessarily think I've surrendered everything to you. I don't know if I have that ability, but I'm willing to be made willing. I give you my yes before you speak. What would we hear? We're going to take some time to listen, as we've been doing these weeks. Before we listen, let me just remind you that God speaks in a whole variety of ways. And it might be a scripture verse that comes to mind for you. This past week, it was the week before, during our inquiring of the Lord on Thursday nights, I had this scripture verse come to mind ahead of time, Hosea 6:12. So I look it up. There's no Hosea 6:12. Like, it ends at verse 11 in chapter 6. There's no Hosea 6:12. So I chased that rabbit. It wasn't there. And that's cool. It's just learning. It's the process of learning, right? Well, during the actual prayer time, I have this other, the address come to mind, and it's Psalm 46:10. What's Psalm 46:10? I already swung and missed at the last one, God. Psalm 46:10. But, you know, everyone's just, they're listening quietly, so I just pull up my phone and I scroll down to Psalm 46:10. It's, be still and know that I am God. Like, I was about to wrap up that prayer time, and because that verse came to mind and I followed it up, we listened for a little bit longer. And then God spoke. And I won't get into what God said. But the point is just, you might get scripture. That God loves his word. He took a lot of time and effort to put this thing together, okay? So often God will remind us of what he has already said. God might give you a word or a phrase. Listen for it. And like I said the other week, one of the ways to recognize that this might be God is if you can't trace the origin of it, if it's sort of random and out of the blue. So that's one of the things. It might be a picture. Have you ever noticed how much God loves imagery in Scripture? Like he speaks to Joseph, and it's all of this imagery, right? It's not, here's your future, Joe. It's like, you know, I saw wheat that was standing, and suddenly it bowed down. I saw stars, and here's what happened. God loves pictures. He loves creation. He loves imagery. So pay attention if there's a picture that comes to mind. Ephesians 1 talks about the eyes of our hearts. I mean, we don't just have physical eyes. We have spiritual eyes as well. Pay attention. Open those eyes. Ask God to enlighten the eyes of your heart, as Ephesians 1 says. It might be an impression, and I've been quoting this verse each week. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's an impression. That's out of Acts. It might be a feeling inside. Jeremiah says, I feel a fire burning in my bones. It might be a feeling. This is one of the, that was a way that God spoke to Jeremiah. Okay? So I am not baptizing every impression you have, every picture that comes to mind, every word that comes to mind, or the Hosea 6:12 thing, like, oh, my Bible doesn't have Hosea 6:12. It should clearly be there because it came to mind. No, I'm not baptizing everything that comes to mind, but I'm no longer dismissing it either. And so what I want to do is, based on the scriptures that we see here, say these are a variety of ways that God speaks. We need to be open to them. And then we weigh them and so on. And as I said, we will talk in subsequent weeks about how to weigh these things. But first, we just need to learn the ways that God speaks and start practicing listening. All right? And lastly, as I have been saying, if you teach your children or other people's children how to listen in these ways, they will teach you how to listen. I'm watching it at home. Close your eyes with me, please. Let me ask you, are you willing to do what he says before he says it? Do you give him your yes before he speaks? Are you willing to be made willing? Say to God in the quiet of your heart, just between the two of you, I trust you, God. In the quiet of your hearts, would you affirm to God those scriptures you've heard that say, you do currently speak, my sheep hear my voice. See to it that you do not refuse him who is currently speaking. Now ask him, how do you want to apply that to my life, Lord? Ask him, where do I need to obey? Ask him, what do I not have the faith for that I should? Where am I not exercising the faith that I should? Now think of a need that someone has that you know, and ask him how he would like you to pray for it. Lord, I praise you. Over and over again, I've been reminded in these weeks, these last few weeks and months, that you are a God who shares yourself with your people. It's just incredible. You are a God who continues to come to your people. You are a God who continues to speak. And I thank you so much for the scriptures. I thank you so much for what they tell us about how you speak. I thank you so much for your Spirit. I thank you so much for Jesus, who has made all of this possible. I give praise to the Father for this being your great plan, for sending your Son, for redeeming the world, for sending your Spirit, for birthing a church, to participate in a kingdom, to reconcile the world to yourself. Lord, would you speak to us about our part in that as a church, our part in that as individuals? Would you tune us into your voice, into your plan? We want to walk in step with you. So Lord, we give you our yes before you speak. We are willing to be made willing. Take all of the no, God, take it all out of us, so that what we offer you is pure hearts, pure worship. Think of the scripture that says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. We put it all on the altar for you. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.